Welcome to Disruptive Adventism. My name is Jose Briones, and I'll be your host for this podcast. This podcast is about discussing the polemical statements and practices that are part of the Adventist fabric, which in turn shape this belief system to be unique and relevant for today's society. During today's podcast, we go over the topic of peacemaking as a continuation of our series on reconciliation. We hope that you have been enjoying it, and we hope that you share it with others. And with nothing else to say, let us begin. Thanks for tuning in again, everyone. Today, we're going to be talking about an exciting topic, the topic of peacemaking and how we can learn lessons for everyday life that help us to be peacemakers in the world. Today, we have a special guest. We have the Director of Wild Faith and Community Engagement Coordinator for Preemptive Love Coalition, Valerie Segamini. Valerie, welcome to the podcast. How's it going?
Going well, thank you.
Thank you for being here. Before we start, give us a short bio and what are you doing with Wild Faith and Preemptive Love?
Sweet. So I actually graduated from Andrews University with my Master's in Community and International Development. Previously worked for Bethany Christian Services and now work for Preemptive Love Coalition. And it's a blessing. I love working for them. I also am directing Wild Faith Magazine, which is a group of women that are seeking to live out the Gospel Commission. And we just encourage one another to actually go out and do something for the Lord. So it's a good.
Cool. All right. Well, thank you for that short description. Now, when it comes to Preemptive Love, what is the main mission, like the mission of this ministry of Preemptive Love, if you can put it in a couple of words?
Okay, so we consider ourselves to be a global movement of peacemakers that are looking to go out into the world and do something a little bit different than usual. And what I mean by that is that instead of confronting acts of violence with more violence, we try to confront acts of violence with love. Mm. So that's the main mission with Preemptive Love.
Okay. So you said that peacemaking is part of the Preemptive Love and kind of like your philosophy of living. Mm-hmm. What is peacemaking? Give me a working definition.
Okay. Well, peacemaking is seeking out peace in, I want to say disruptive because it's called disruptive Adventism right now, but I'm not going to say that word. But I want to say kind of disenchanted or communities at odds.
Communities at odds.
Yeah, communities at odds. So we're seeking peace between communities that are at odds. Mm.
Can you give me an example of something that you have learned through your experience at Preemptive Love that is peacemaking in everyday setting?
That's a great question. What I've learned, and I think this is probably more of a personal thing when it comes to the Preemptive Love message, what I've learned for myself is that I, as a human being, need to be interacting with other human beings that are very different from me. And that's the main thing that I am learning right now, is that I need to surround myself not just with like-minded people, but with people that are very different from me, who may think differently politically, religiously, morally. I need to interact with those people and have conversations with them, because with that, we are able to love one another better and actually do some peacemaking.
You brought up a couple of different categories there. You have political, religious, maybe social interactions within different communities. How is peacemaking related to those areas? Let's say politically, I have a different opinion that you do.
Right.
Or religiously or socially, I have a different opinion that you do.
Yeah.
How do I start the process of peacemaking?
How do you start the process of peacemaking with those people?
Yes, in those specific settings.
Okay, well, I guess politically, the way that I would see it was if I stood politically in a certain area, and it doesn't have to necessarily have to be like, I'm a Republican, I'm a Democrat. I think that there's people that don't ascribe to those different parties. They're maybe independent and they go wherever, maybe by issue, go by it by issue. So if you have a certain opinion on abortion, in which I think most people do, have a conversation with someone who doesn't agree with you on your position. And what I mean by that is seek out people to that have a different opinion and talk to them about their opinion and listen to them. Because I think that by doing that, we humanize the other people. Because at the moment, what I really feel is that there's a huge divide here in the United States, and maybe even just socially. It doesn't have to be in the United States, that we feel like, oh, if I have a certain position, I can't hang out or interact with a certain person that has a different opinion than me. So what I mean politically, look at issues, look at different things. What do you think about immigration? If you agree with somebody or disagree with someone with immigration, talk to them about it. Explain why you feel a certain way, why they feel a certain way. Give them an opportunity to just talk about it. Religiously, I guess if you have a certain perspective, and I think that even within Adventism, because we're in an Adventist context, there's a large spectrum of Adventism and of Adventists, and it's like, if you're a conservative, talk to somebody who's quite liberal, or if you are in the middle, talk to both, you know, like get their perspectives, understand where they're coming from, because I think that once we do that, then we're not so anti, you know what I mean?
Like anti-people. Anti.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what we do. We categorize people so often that we don't allow ourselves to see our humanity and our stories, because everybody has a story.
When it comes to this idea of engaging with someone that differs with my opinion, mm-hmm. we are entering into a different stage, and usually we have conflict, right? Mm-hmm. So the idea of peacemaking, is it only conflict related, or does it apply to other just internal aspects or other external aspects? Do I always have to be a peacemaker when it's like, oh, okay, we have a conflict here. Mm-hmm. It's time to de-escalate the situation, right, and just start agreeing, maybe finding common ground. Is peacemaking just that component, or are other areas?
Peacemaking begins with yourself, for sure. There is an internal peacemaking that we need to do first. And I think that that's definitely a really religious experience for most people, where you have a conflict within yourself and you need to make peace with yourself. Understanding who you are, understanding where you stand on things, being okay with your sinful side. And what I mean by that is that we all are struggling with something, and being at peace with that and understanding how to get out of it and how to deal with the complexity of our humanity. I think that's where it starts, as well as peacemaking does not necessarily have to be an external thing. By what I mean by that is, there's a lot of issues that we have with other people that we need to start working on within ourselves. Mm. For example, I have a problem with someone in my family who disagrees with me politically. In my heart, every time I see them, I'm like, ooh, you know, like, it's just like, I don't want to interact with them. I don't want to be around them. Like, I already have this issue inside my heart that I need to deal with. I pray about it. I need to just meditate with the Lord. I need to go on walks and understand. If anything, time usually heals things, but I need to figure out why I'm pained by the situation. Mm. And I think that once I have more confidence in why I feel a certain way, then I can interact with other people a little bit more peacefully.
Peacemaking is a part of, you know, bringing this normalcy kind of like back to this neutral position, not necessarily from a one position and on the right and then to the left and then meeting at the middle, mm-hmm. but to come to understanding. That's what peacemaking is about. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of people talk about peacekeeping. Mm-hmm. So peacekeepers, peacemakers. What is your difference? How do you see the difference between those two things? Can I be a peacekeeper and a peacemaker at the same time? Or are those two diametrically opposed ideas?
I think that they are two diametrically opposed ideas. To be quite frank, I think that peacekeeping is cowardice.
Okay.
And the reason why I say that peacekeeping is cowardice is because, so if there is an injustice or there is an issue, there is a conflict, peacekeeping says that issue, that conflict, that injustice is not enough for me to get uncomfortable and engage in it. Like it, I don't care about it enough in order for me to actually get out of my comfort zone or rock the boat a little bit to bring light to the situation and encounter it, I kind of feel like it's staying in the dark, because everything at one point has to come to light, right? But if we decide to keep the peace in this situation in which we see, okay, anything that is not peace, in my opinion, is violence.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is, if there is an injustice or there is something going on that relationally that we see is a conflict, and we're deciding, you know what, I'm not going to look at that violence and recognize that it's a bad thing, and I'm not going to engage in it in order to create peace, then I think that that's cowardice. Because violence is bad. I think we can all agree that violence is bad. But when we don't see things as violence, whether it be mentally, emotionally, or actually physically, then it's just, I don't know, I guess it's not going to be important to people.
Right. What I hear from you and what you're saying is that there's a lack of engagement. There's a passivity element towards peacekeeping, whereas peacemaking is maybe a little bit more engaged, active, pointing back a little bit towards another one of your collaborators at Wild Faith, Judith, the editor. You know, we had a podcast on activism, and she kind of engaged with this a little bit of this topic. You're saying that peacekeeping is a little bit more passive. It's like, hey, let's just stay put together. Peacemaking is getting engaged, doing something for this violent event, or is that what I hear?
Yes.
Okay. Now, how is that related to your job?
Okay.
You are a community engagement person.
Right.
How do you encourage people to be peacemakers in the world?
That's a great question. Well, the ways that currently we are trying to encourage people to be peacemakers in the world is by, and it's a super simple idea. Well, actually, there's some that are, I guess we could say, radical ideas, and some that are super simple. The simple one is sit down and have a conversation, an open conversation and a listening ear with someone who is different than you. Like, actively seek out someone who is different from you, whether it be skin color, race, whatever, religion, political standing, socioeconomic status, all of these things. We're living in our own bubble. We need to go out of our bubble and reach out to someone and sit down and listen to them. That's simple. You can go out in the community and do this today. You literally can knock on your neighbor's door and say, hey, I want to sit down and just have dinner with you and listen to your story. Simple. Other thing is, there are some issues within the United States towards, actually, maybe not even just the United States, in the Western world towards the Middle East.
Okay.
The Middle East, obviously, we see on the news and we see happening in the United States, especially with 9/11, a lot of people fearing Islam and the Middle East in general. So when we talk about Iraq, when we talk about Syria, we think of violence, we think of refugees, we think of Al-Qaeda, we think of ISIS, we think of all these different things. Basically, what Preemptive Love Coalition is trying to do is saying, well, in the past, we used to say, we need to go do a preemptive strike. We are going to punch someone first before they punch us, so that they can't even punch us in the end. We need to knock them out before they can come over here and knock us out. That's what we had as a concept in the United States before, and that's what we consider to be the preemptive strike. And across the board, Republicans and Democrats were saying this. They were saying, we need to go to the Middle East and bomb them and make sure that we knock down all of these violent acts before they can come over here and do it. So what we are asking Americans and Westerners and all over the world is, what we're saying is that instead of saying, we're going to go bomb these people, instead, let's go love them. Like, let's go and love ISIS. And I know it sounds crazy, but ISIS obviously has an ideology of violence. Don't they need love? Do we believe that love can actually unmake violence and unmake these types of ideologies to a point that they can be free from the violence that they're inflicting upon themselves and on others? That's the more radical idea that we have, of course. And that's what we do. We go and we do acts of love in the Middle East, and we go do acts of love in Iraq and Syria with ISIS, with Al-Qaeda, with Yazidis, with all kinds of people. We don't judge who or what they've done. We just love them no matter what. Love anyway.
You bring the point of loving anyway, or loving preemptively. What does this love mean? I can't think of people hearing this, and maybe it's like, is this like the emotional gooey feeling that it's like, whatever it is, I'm just going to go love you and embrace you, even if you stab me, or if, you know, like there's a kind of like a rough reaction in here, because when we bring in these names again, we have ISIS, we have Al Qaeda, it's like terrorism, or like, you know, these groups that are violent. How can we love them? What does love entail in this case? Is it more like, I'm here and take advantage of me? Or is it, I'm going to love you in what way? Maybe that's what I'm asking.
Great question. So I think that this is where I probably will say I maybe deviate from what preemptive love would say. I'm not sure, but I don't want to say that this is what they believe.
This is so your personal position.
This is my disclaimer. I think that as a Christian, I believe that your own security comes last. And I know that that sounds scary. And I know I've had conversations with several Adventists that are very concerned for security. And I think that that's, I don't think it's wrong. I understand why you would want to protect your children. You would want to protect yourself. And I think everyone has a concern for personal safety and their family safety. And I understand that. People as well in Iraq and Syria have a concern for themselves and for their children. The thing comes in where whose safety comes first. That's the question we have to ask ourselves. A lot of people fear refugees coming to the United States. Why? Because we have a concern for our personal safety and our children's safety. But by saying no to a refugee coming into the United States because we have a concern for our own personal safety, we have now rejected their personal safety. Whose personal safety comes first? And that's the question. Is love putting yourself first or putting others first? And it's something that we have to grapple with, really, because if you think about it, Christ put himself last.
Yes.
By coming down to earth and dying, and that's it. He didn't put himself first, you know, like he died for us because he considered our lives more valuable than his. And it's a scary concept, I know, and I understand that a lot of people don't like that, but it's the truth. And that's my personal religious convictions. And I think that as Adventists, I think that's our personal religious convictions, but we're afraid to talk about it in these practical terms. Because how far does love extend? Does it put yourself at risk? Yeah, definitely it puts yourself at risk. But that's what we're supposed to and we're called to do. So
I like how you say that and how you bring this idea of having love and putting our safety last. And it's hard. It requires sacrifice.
Oh, definitely.
The same thing that Jesus did for us, we ought to do for people. And it's a big jump. But I think that when we keep in mind that we're not our own, that Christ is supposed to live in us, and that, you know what, regardless, I mean, I think about it, sometimes I joke, and, you know, kind of knock on wood kind of jokes, that it's like, you know, if I ever end up dying because of an act of violence committed against myself and stuff like that, I always say, you know what, I get to see Jesus faster. To a certain degree, I just chuckle at the idea that whatever happens to me, I know I'm secure in Christ. And I think that that's part of the development of peacemaking within ourselves, that we ought to be secure in Christ first in order to be like, you know, whatever what happens, I'm doing the right thing. And if by doing the right thing, I end up losing something for myself or losing my life, I know that God, and at the end of the day, I will end up going to heaven and enjoying all the blessings. So I guess that it's a little bit hard to digest and a little bit, we may say, disruptive. But I think it's a very important concept to keep when it comes to the idea of peacemaking and loving others. As we start wrapping up, let's start one or two more questions. Is what can we do in the religious context to start being peacemakers? I think of board meetings. I think of families being broken because of divorces. I think of other children or child molestation. That's been something that's been happening in religious context, especially with other churches. How can we start peacemaking in our church setting?
That's a great, 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 great question. You talked about board meetings. Again, I think step one is internal peacemaking. Mm-hmm. You cannot, should not, will not, I'm telling you, do not go out with a righteous idea of yourself, thinking that you are going to fix the church, or you're going to fix the abusers in your church, or you're going to fix the people in your board meeting. Peacemaking begins with having a kind and loving and caring personality that says that I'm going to have a relationship with you that is respectful of your humanity and loving towards you, hospitable towards you and your personality and your differences, then I think that you can move on to step two. So step one is be hospitable, be loving, be kind to others by figuring out in your heart that everyone is a child of God. No matter what they have done, how bad it is, be hospitable. Step two would be create a culture within your church. And I think that with step one, you being hospitable and you being kind, you are already beginning to create that culture. The second part of that culture change would be education. And that would be whether you're a pastor, if you start preaching sermons about lovingness and kindness and hospitality, or if you're a church member, just engaging with people and sitting down with somebody at a different pew, maybe that is different from you, and engage, inviting them over for potluck or inviting them over for dinner at your house, going out and building relationships with people that are different from you, even if it's outside of the church. You know, like if you don't interact often with people outside of the church, knock on your neighbor's door, invite them over for a movie or over for a dinner and just talk and listen. I think that's step two. I think step three would be like everybody in the church doing this and everybody in the church interacting and doing stuff like that. In board meetings, I can see that if you create this culture, if you are a leader within it, speaking up and saying, hey, so instead of arguing the way that we have been, why don't we spend some time outside together so that the next time that we come, we're friends and that we're not just seeing each other as enemies, because we're not enemies here. Mm-hmm. We all have a common enemy, but we're not enemies of each other. Mm-hmm. And if you have to have like a little spiel in the beginning of your board meeting talking about that, then go ahead, create the culture. You shouldn't be afraid to say, hey, you know what? Well, the way that we're going to conduct this meeting is by seeing each other as friends instead of enemies. And don't forget that there is a common enemy that wants us to think that we're enemies. When it comes to abuse, because you brought that up, and there are a lot of abuses that have happened within the church, I think that there definitely has to be peacemaking. And I think that what we're doing at the moment is peacekeeping. And what I mean by that is we know that it's happening, but we're not doing anything about it. Mm. I think that having conversations with our churches publicly at the pulpit, if we need to, because that's where healing should be happening. Pastors and elders and deacons should be leaders, spiritual leaders, that conduct these conversations with the church and say, you know what, well, we're listening to your pain, and we want to respond to it out of apology. We also want to say that we need to pray for these people that are abusers, because people that abuse other people are people that are very hurt and that are committing violence against themselves. When they do something bad to another person, they are also destroying their own humanity. And we have to remember that we should pity those people. We really should. We should pity those people and pray for them, because they're destroying themselves. Mm. They are also destroying other people. So we can't forget the victim, but we can't forget the oppressor. Both of them are going through some serious pain. And we need to, if we feel like some church members are strongly committed to praying for the oppressor while others are committed to praying for the victim, then go ahead. You know, like visit them personally if you need to. Pray with them every day. If they need to go to jail, send them to jail. Like, it's like we need to do these conversations and have them open. and actually have some reconciliation, not necessarily with the victim and the oppressor, yet if through time things happen and then they want to reconcile, let's not force reconciliation. Let's just, you know,
stay in their lane.
Yeah, that's not like that. Yeah.
What you're trying to say is like you don't want to put two people that have had somebody that has abused somebody else right. in the same place
right.
without some accountability, supervision, exactly. like, you know, looking yes, for yes, that. Yes. And then maybe down the road, the person that has been abused, is able to reconcile and is able to feel comfortable
right.
living in that space.
Yes.
That's very important, I think, because sometimes we think of, okay, this person abused me. This person took advantage of me. I will never want to see their face.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, we have to remember, you know, that's something that we do to Christ,
mm-hmm.
you know, on a regular basis sometimes. And as a sinful human being, he came down,
yes.
he was the victim,
mm-hmm.
and then he came down to love. Of course, we are not Christ. I'm not trying to portray right. that. And it takes way more time and it takes way more security and safety for us to come to that point.
Mm-hmm.
But that love that you speak of, the preemptive love, is, mm-hmm. is that idea of like, you know, I need to at least come to the point that I can forgive them.
Yes.
Even if I will not live with them
right.
because of safety, I still need to have this peacemaking relationship
mm-hmm.
with them.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of things that we have talked about. And I want to thank you. It's been a lot that we have covered when it comes to peacemaking and peacekeeping. Thanks a bunch for your time and for speaking about Preempted Love Coalition and for Well Faith, you know, a couple of things, mm-hmm. a lot of good projects coming along. Before we tune out, final word always goes to our guest. Yeah. So what do we need to keep in mind when it comes to the idea of peacemaking? Go ahead.
We belong to one another. That's it. That we belong to one another. God has given us each other. And our duty is to care for one another. So, let's act like it.
That was our time on the topic of peacemaking with Valerie Sigamani, director of Wild Faith Magazine. If you want to receive more content by Wild Faith Magazine, please make sure to check them out at wildfaithmagazine.com. Or if you want more information about Preemptive Love Coalition, visit them at preemptivelove.org. That's our time for today. Thank you for listening. We really appreciate the support that we're getting from you guys. If you want to contribute to the podcast, please make sure to leave a review on iTunes or your favorite podcasting app. Leave a rating. Anything really helps us. And if you want to contribute monetarily, please head to patreon.com/disruptiveadventism. Contributions start at $1 a month. We send you stickers, shirts, exclusive content, surveys, and much more. So make sure to check it out and to be part of this movement. So thank you very much for today. And as always, we invite you to be disruptive.